Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text Number 16. Duhitri Putra Potramscha Chami Jamatri Pasadan Svatvaravishtam Yatkinchit Griha Kosha Parichadam. Translation. King Paranjan then began to think of his daughters, sons, grandsons, daughters-in-law, sons-in-law, servants, and other associates, as well as his house, his household paraphernalia, and his little accumulation of wealth. Please repeat. King Paranjan then began to think of his daughters, sons, grandsons, daughters-in-law, sons-in-law, servants, and other associates, as well as his house, his household paraphernalia, and his little accumulation of wealth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is not infrequent for a person overly attached to the material body to request a physician to prolong his life at least for some time. If the so-called scientific physician is able to prolong one's life for a few minutes through the use of oxygen or other medicines, he thinks that he is very successful in his attempts, although ultimately the patient will die. This is called the struggle for existence. At the time of death, both patient and physician still think of prolonging life, although all the constituents of the body are practically dead and gone. Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnananjanan Shalakaya Chakshuramalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this describes me very well. All my sons and... So, this material world is based on the principle of the attraction between male and female, as described in the fifth canto, Pumsa Sriya Mitana Bhava Me Touch, Tayo Mehta Grehya, Atta Grehya Shetra Siddhaptada Janasya Mahoyam Ahama Meti. So, the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one thinks in terms of one's land, one's home, one's wife, one's children, and in terms of I, me, and mine. So that's what material existence is really all about. It's all about I, me, and mine. And a devotee is trying to do something totally opposite. A devotee is trying to forget about I, me, and mine and think of Krishna. But to go from being born in the material world and someone like me having a lot of attachments and not being a devotee from the time of birth, I mean, it's okay for a swami who, you know, is very detached, and they may have that mindset that they're not really attached to the home or anything like that, but for most of us it's not really like that. So we have to cross over the ocean of attachments and reach the side of renunciation, which is a great challenge. But fortunately, we're very lucky because we have the knowledge, the weapons that the Shastra, the books that we have been given by Krishna and by Srila Prabhupada and all the great acharyas are weapons by which we can destroy the darkness of attachment, because attachment means fear and just being afraid all the time and being attached and being miserable and working like an ass. So the instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam are very, very important for all of us. That's why Srila Prabhupada wanted every gentleman, because anyone who's a gentleman must think about life. Anyone who's a fool, an ignorant fool, doesn't think about life. So if somebody thinks about life, that means that if they're fortunate, they may get a set of Srimad Bhagavatams. And if they look in the fifth canto, it gives a very appropriate description of how a devotee who may be a householder should actually live. It describes how that someone who is striving to be Krishna conscious, they do not like to do anything that is not related to Krishna. Even if they are householders, they are not attached to their houses or their children or their wealth. They do not associate with worldly minded people. In this way, they have their mindset that they, this is the proper standard that we should aspire for, not to be attached. But of course, it is not easy to be not attached, because on the other hand, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it also says, Guru na sasyat, napatis na sasyan, that nobody should become a guru, or a father, or a mother, unless one can deliver one's dependence from the path of birth and death. So we have this real dichotomy where we have a real duty, and actually Vedic civilization is all about duty, that everybody has their duty, and when we fail in our duty, then we cause a disturbance in society. So the duty of a father is to liberate his children. The duty of a guru is to liberate his descendants. So sometimes it's very difficult to liberate your children, and it may take longer than you think. So you may not be in a position to detach oneself from the home or the family, but one should be very conscious of one's duty. And as devotees, we have all this knowledge which makes it a lot easier for us to know what the right thing to do is. And so there are many so basically Krishna consciousness means following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, following the great acharyas. This is the only way that we can attain perfection. And it's not always easy. It's not a question of going to a couple of seminars or japa retreats or anything like that. But it's a very painstaking process. Srila Prabhupada was very strict. We may think Srila Prabhupada was all lovey-dovey, and he was all lovey-dovey. He loved everybody. But he was very strict. If you had long hair, he called you a hippie. You let your hair grow. Of course, I know there's a lot of you who are not initiated by Srila Prabhupada, and you have your reasons for doing this and that. But he was very strict. If someone was leaning against the wall, sometime one devotee was leaning against the wall, and Prabhupada was so heavy. He said, "Why are you leaning against the wall? Why are you sleeping so much?" So it's an arduous process to become Krishna conscious. But at the same time, if we prosecute the path properly, then we get enough encouragement, because Krishna consciousness is blissful. And what makes it blissful is the spreading of Krishna consciousness, that not only getting up early in the morning, actually the most exaggerated of all of Srila Prabhupada's instructions was to go to Mangalati. That was his most common request, that everybody go to Mangalati. There was one devotee, he was working on Prabhupada's printing press back in the early days, when it was so important for Prabhupada to print some literature about Krishna consciousness, and this devotee wasn't getting up for Mangalati. So Prabhupada said, "What is the point of anything else you're doing? If you don't come to Mangalati, what is the point?" So Krishna consciousness isn't always so easy, but if you follow it, then you get so much encouragement, because Krishna is very kind. It is said, Brijasya Gurun Api Naparadan. It is said in the Nectar of Devotion, it says that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, who is known as Purushottama, the greatest of all persons, is very gentle. And even if his devotee does something very horrible. Krishna takes it very lightly. And even if a devotee does some small service for Krishna, he takes it as something very great. And if an envious person blasphemes the Lord does not get angry. So that's Krishna. Krishna is so kind. And so when we hear about Krishna, we become attracted to Krishna. So that's why Shravanam, hearing, is so important. That's why the Goswamis wrote so many books. That's why Prabhupada, he wrote so many books. He could have just written a few books about Krishna Leela, Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, whatever. But he went to so much trouble to write books like the Adi Leela, for instance, of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. How many of you read the Adi Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Okay, so it's heavy going. It's not easy to read. But why did Prabhupada write it? Because the whole philosophy has to be taken as a whole. You can't take one little bit and, you know, just try to enjoy the nectar of, you know, the Rasa Leela dance or whatever, without trying to understand how Lord Nityananda is a Sankash, like, you know, the Chaturvyuha. It's very complicated. I'm not a big philosopher, but it's complicated. It's hard to read. But Prabhupada wrote it for a reason. Because we have to get the philosophy right. Because there's a lot of deviations in the path of Krishna consciousness. So, if we take the time, and Srila Prabhupada, he was just like Socrates, okay? You've heard of Socrates. Anyone not heard of Socrates? Okay, everyone's heard of Socrates. He was a big Greek philosopher. And he still studied in every university in the world after 2,000 years. So, but what did he know? He really didn't know very much. The only thing he knew, basically, was that you're not the body, which is great, which was, Prabhupada was trying to drum that into us right from day one, right till the very end. So we are not the body, but Prabhupada gave us so much more. And so, you know, we have to try to understand Prabhupada's position. He said, my books will be studied for the next 10,000 years. So that's easy to understand in the light of Socrates still being studied in every university in the world after 2,000 years, when Prabhupada had so much more information. So if we read these books, even though it's difficult, then we get so much benefit. And the greatest benefit, of course, is to become free from attachment, because attachment, as we said, is an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to be attached. But by applying the philosophy, the medicine, the guru is the sadhu. The sadhu is somebody who cuts. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta described how the sadhu is like somebody who cuts away the false ego. Just like they have the sacrificial animal on the altar. So the priest kills the animal. So, but the priest is, he's non-violent, but the animal is sacrificed. But the guru also, he sometimes has to eradicate our illusion, because we're in so much illusion. We're thinking that we can enjoy the material world. But what can we enjoy? When you're young, you may be able to enjoy a little bit, but one of the beauties of getting older is that your senses are more controlled. And as this verse explains, that at the time of death, all of one's attachments become very prominent in the mind. And you have to practice very seriously to be able to give them up. In fact, near where I used to live in Florida, there's an old folks community, an old person's community in Ocala called the Villages. And in the Villages, they have a very high rate of sexually transmitted diseases. The highest rate in America is in this old folks community. Because even though they're old, they're still wife swapping and having affairs with other women. Because the desire to enjoy does not go away. You have to work very hard at it. It's hard work. But, you know, hard work, but there's a reward. And you get realizations constantly. Krishna's very kind. Tesham satata yuktanam bhujtam pratipurvakam. Tadami buddha yogam tam yena mamu piyantate. He says, to those who are constantly devoted, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So if we're constantly devoted, not just, you know, maybe when we come to Vrindavan, we come to Mangalartik a few times, but all the time, it's a constant thing, because we get covered over very, very easily. But if we take it very seriously, then we gradually perceive the sweetness of Krishna. Actually, Krishna is so sweet. It's said that Krishna is so beautiful. If there was a tamal tree, there's a tamal tree, flying in the sky on a golden mountain, encircled by golden creepers, with golden bananas around it, that would resemble Krishna on his swing with his friends. Another verse that says, this is the first verse in the Lalita Madhava or Vidagdha Madhava. It says that, may the pastimes of Krishna eradicate all sinful reactions and diminish all material desires. The pastimes of Krishna are so sweet, like shikharini, which is a blend of yogurt and sugar candy. And it conquers the pride of the nectar produced on the moon, because it spreads the sweet fragrance of the loving affairs of Radharani and the gopis. So, Krishna is so sweet, but all the great acharyas, they labored very hard to please Krishna, because Krishna wants our soul. He wants everything. And so, even we saw with Srila Prabhupada, he went through so many difficulties to spread Krishna consciousness. Even in Vrindavan, you'd think Vrindavan, the cows would be, you know, the super soul in the cow's heart would tell them not to attack Krishna, but even Srila Prabhupada was attacked by a cow in Vrindavan. And he even thought, maybe I shouldn't have taken sannyas. Maybe I did the wrong thing. So, you know, sometimes we do have doubts. Sometimes there are difficulties. But a devotee is convinced, because we have conviction through studying the books, that the books are the life and soul. Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kavibi riditam kalpasarapaham shravanamangalam shimadatatam bhuvi grinante buridajana. That the narrations of Krishna's activities are the life and soul of those suffering in the material world. These narrations, which are transmitted by great sages, they are full of nectar. And if we apply our time and desire to understand who Krishna is, then Krishna will help us. And Krishna is, he really is the best friend of everybody. And the more we do for Krishna, the more sacrifices we perform. It is said by King Rishabhdev that austerities are the, by doing austerities automatically, brahma-sokhyanam tvanantam, tapo-divyam-putrika-yena, So by performing austerities, the heart is purified and we experience real happiness. Brahma Sokhyam, the happiness of the soul. So we have this great opportunity, and our movement is really very small, unfortunately. I live in Kentucky, in America. And I took a plane the other day, and there's so few devotees. I think we're about the only devotees in Kentucky. There's 5 of us or 10 of us, whatever, hardly any. So you take a plane, you go to Detroit. There's hundreds of thousands of people walking around in the airport. and they don't even know anything about Krishna. So, you know, our movement really has a long way to go. There's a lot of people out there who don't know anything about Krishna and who are receptive. Even when I was at the airport in Lexington, which is a small town in Kentucky, two or three of the people there at the security check, they were very interested. So, you know, are you Buddhist or what are you? So, you know, we have this duty, and actually Krishna consciousness cannot be understood without following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, he is the Yuga avatar, and he ordered everybody in the universe to preach the message of Krishna consciousness, because that is what brings us closer to Krishna. And so the more we sacrifice for that, then the more we can understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So, of course, coming to the holy place is a wonderful experience. Coming to Brahma Vrindavan, so many wonderful pastimes took place here, and we become purified by going to those places. But wouldn't it be nice if we could live in the holy dham all the time? That would be nice. So it may not be possible for us to do that, but Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish one of his eight purposes for the creation of ISKCON was to establish holy places of pilgrimage. Like in New Vrindavan, he wanted to establish a Tirtha. There were supposed to be seven temples, and he wanted people to come as if on a pilgrimage, because it's still there, New Vrindavan. But if you ever have the chance to go to Hungary, you'll see a very nice community where the devotees are living as residents of a holy dham. And so Prabhupada explains that with the creation of New Vrindavan, that all the people living there would be living in a holy dham, and they would have the opportunity to live as Krishna wanted us to live. Krishna loves cows. Vyasaki spoke to me this morning a little bit. He loved... He's trying to propagate the right conception that, you know, the way people treat cows nowadays is demoniac, and that we shouldn't support the commercial dairies, because cows are very dear to Krishna. And that Krishna came to the material world to teach us how to live. And Krishna was a cowherd boy. So Krishna would go out every day and herd the cows. And, you know, we call Krishna Govinda, Gopinath. So he loves cows. So somehow or other we have to feel that this is all very relevant to all of us. You know, how Krishna protected cows, how Krishna was a village boy, and so actually I have a nice verse here. It says, the cows and the bulls and the calves were thoroughly smeared with a mixture of turmeric and oil mixed with a variety of minerals. Their heads were bedecked with peacock feathers, and they were garlanded and covered with cloth and golden ornaments. Prabhupada says, how happy the cows were in Indian civilization. Yet in the same place, India, Bharatvarsha, how much people are suffering by giving up the Vedic way of life and not understanding the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So we have to actually live the philosophy. We have, it's not just a philosophy, it's a way of life, it's a culture. So that means that everything we do pertains or is relevant or is Krishna conscious. So that's not very easy. And in this verse it talks about how, you know, a materialist thinks of his relatives and his wealth at the time of death. And so he's very afraid. So if we're surrounded with a culture of Krishna consciousness, then it's much easier to be unafraid at the time of death. There's a very nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Reading these verses gives us a lot of strength. So this verse in the fifth canto, it says, materialists are very much attached to their present bodily comforts and to the bodily comforts they expect in the future. Therefore, they're always absorbed in thoughts of their wives, children, and wealth, and are afraid of giving up their bodies, which are full of stool and urine. If a person engaged in Krishna consciousness, however, is also afraid of giving up his body, what is the use of his having labored to study the Vedas? It was simply a waste of time. So, this is the wonderful feature of Krishna consciousness, that it actually makes you fearless. And like Srila Prabhupada explained, then when a devotee gets old, a devotee, he has so much more life, he has so much more conviction, he has so much more energy, and he has freedom from material attachments. But if you don't take Krishna consciousness seriously, then unfortunately, you know, at the time of death, it will be too easy to be afraid. So, in another verse in the second canto, it says that at the time of death, one should be bold enough not to be afraid. One should be bold, that there's nothing to be afraid of. That if we practice Krishna consciousness properly, if we chant 16 rounds a day, every day, then we can go back to Godhead in this life. So, but it really does depend on how serious we are and whether or not we understand Lord Chaitanya's message in this age, which is that the only way you can really understand Krishna is to, there's a verse by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, who was an incarnation of one of the Astasaki, and he said, to the extent that we engage in preaching Krishna consciousness, to that extent we can understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So it doesn't matter whether one is a big scholar, or whether one is sweeping the temple, or giving money. Of course, Srila Prabhupada wanted the Varnashram system, which means that everybody is engaged according to their propensity. Sometimes we don't really know what our propensity is until we're 80 years of age. But at least if we're engaged somehow or other in supporting Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON movement, Srila Prabhupada, he went to great endeavor to establish a formal society. And this was the first time this had been done, actually, in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that legally speaking, ISKCON was established by Prabhupada, and Prabhupada went to great pains to protect ISKCON and to establish the framework so that anybody who supported ISKCON, anybody who was engaged in ISKCON's activities would actually directly or indirectly be contributing to the benefit of the world, to the spreading of Krishna consciousness. Whether you clean the temple or whatever you do, it's all good. So, if we can somehow or other engage as much as possible in the activities of ISKCON, then we have a very positive future. Of course, I'm sure there are other people that have a positive future too, but seeing as we're followers of Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada went through so much to establish ISKCON, if we think about what he did, he wrote the Bhagavad Gita, and the Bhagavad Gita was stolen, and he had to rewrite the whole thing again. And he traveled all over the world, even at such an advanced age, and he wanted to establish so many temples. So he gave up his whole life for spreading Krishna consciousness. And so if we can follow his example, then we can also be successful at the time of death. And if we remember Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya is such a sweet personality. Lord Chaitanya, as he described to Sanatana Goswami, when Sanatana Goswami had the sores on his body contacted some disease in the forest of Jarakanda, and his body was weeping with some nasty fluid, and Lord Chaitanya embraced him, and Sanatana Goswami felt very uncomfortable about this. So he tried to avoid Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya insisted. And when he asked him why he did this, he said, you're just like my child. You and Haridas Thakur are just like my children. And just like a mother, she doesn't mind if the baby passes stool. To her it is like sandalwood. So similarly, your body to me is like nectar. And so this is Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is the sweetest incarnation of the Lord. And so if we try to please Lord Chaitanya, then we get so much benefit. So we have everything. We have the greatest philosophy, and we have beautiful deities, and we have the holy name, and we have so many beautiful temples, and we have nice association, and so we should strive our hardest to try to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's goals. Whatever you want to do for Srila Prabhupada, whatever your propensity is, but at the same time we have to try to establish everything that Prabhupada wanted, because everything is very important. It's very important to distribute books. This is the who, you know, we're all here because of Srila Prabhupada's book distribution. So books are the basic priority, distributing books. But in the books it talks about farm communities, like Srila Prabhupada says, that I've established so many farm communities to show people how to live simply, because that was one of his main 8 goals, was to teach people a simpler way of life. So unless we're preaching in a city, generally, you know, if we get married, you won't want to bring your children up in a city. So if we can try to contribute towards establishing communities where we can have holy places, just like Shivaram Swami has done in Hungary. Have any of you been to Hungary? Nobody. Anyway, it's an amazing place. And it's a community, and everybody in the community is serving Radha Shyama Sundar. They have Radha Shyama Sundar there. And they have so many holy places. And Shiva Ramraj, he's written this amazing book about how, logically speaking, you can prove that you can establish a holy place outside of the places that Krishna actually came. So that was according to the, you know, Srila Prabhupada's logic. So there's a holy place there, and he's written a book about all the different tirthas in the holy place. And so if we can't live in a city and preach, or preach wherever we are, then we can preach by example, by living in a community where we actually protect cows and show people that we do love cows because Krishna loved cows. Not only that, cow's milk is very valuable, because cow's milk helps you understand Krishna better. Because it said, in Srila Prabhupada says, that milk is liquid religiosity. That by drinking cow's milk, we get intelligence. So, the cow is holy. And Prabhupada talks about how in the modern age, the farmers in India, they're dressed in a very niggardly dress. Niggardly means rags. Walking around in rags, the farmers. And that's in contrast to the way Nanda Maharaj lived. He had so much gold, so much wealth, and he was a cowherd person. So how is that? Because in those days, people were more conscious of the value of milk. So they would pay what the milk was actually worth. Nowadays, you know, I don't want to make the class too much about milk, but it is important that milk is liquid religiosity for understanding God, and that if we can somehow or other live in a community where cows are respected and worshipped, then that will be very pleasing. It's just like all of you may have children. So unless you live in such a community, your children will never see a cow being milked, or they will never drink milk which comes from a protected cow. That's very, very sad. So you may think, how is this practically possible to do this? But, you know, Prabhupada could have thought, how is it practically possible to change the world by going on a ship and arriving in Boston Harbor with nothing? So we have to have faith in Krishna, that Krishna can do anything. And we have this duty as devotees, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, to try to understand all the different things that he wanted and try to bring them all into play. This is our duty as followers. We may not be leaders, it doesn't matter, but we have to consciously try to understand what Srila Prabhupada wanted. And if we do that, then we'll get all the blessings and we can go back to Godhead at the end of this life. So, does anyone have any questions? Comments? Okay. Well, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.